You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley. You could have been crammed inside a stadium.
Hello everyone, we're back. This is Ravens Weekly and this is episode 107. Thank you so much for joining us once again today. My name's Matt Hall and I'm joined, as always, by Jeff Hutton. Jeff, how are we doing this week?
Very well, evening all.
Great to be back with you once again. Let's start off then with the Chesterfield game. Let's reflect on that from last Saturday and what a fantastic win it was on the day. 4-2, actually, the scoreline at the end of it. A thrilling game, especially the first half. Jeff, and some really, really good football played on the day.
Absolutely brilliant, yeah, like you say. And obviously for Ali to get his first and second goals, was actually brilliant. First half was superb.
Well, it was 3-0 up after I think it was 37 minutes, and then it went downhill for a few minutes. We did go into the halftime break 3-2. That is typical Bromley, isn't it? Let's be honest, that is typical Bromley.
To be fair, we've been complaining about boring games of late and lack of goals, and they all came at once.
Definitely the fans got their money's worth on that day, that's for sure. Six goals at the end of it, of course. Ali, as you mentioned, Jeff, with two. Luke Coulson with a brilliant goal as well.
Fantastic goal, like you say. I think you said on commentary, reminiscence of the his goal at Hartlepool away.
Against the same goalkeeper as well. I do feel a little bit for him.
Was it really?
It was against the same goalkeeper.
Fantastic,
yeah.
First touch.
It was absolutely brilliant. And Ellery Balcombe with the assist as well, which is quite incredible. And then, of course, Corey Whiteley wrapping it up early on in the second half. And it was just a brilliant, brilliant performance all round. Coulson getting the man of the match decision on the day. And it was brilliant, Jeff, wasn't it, to see the fans show their appreciation for the under-16s and under-15s who traded their trophies around
like
the pitch
at half-time. A lot happening off the pitch as well that day. You know, like you say, the 15s and 16s on the pitch at half-time celebrating their silverware. I know we spoke about that on the last podcast. Obviously, just shy of 2,000 again in terms of the crowds. Obviously, the visitors travelling incredibly well. And obviously, Matt, the day started a lot earlier than that. 9 o'clock, in fact.
Yeah, absolutely. We had Saturday morning soccer school on the stadium pitch to kick things off. And in our first session, the 9 o'clock session, which is for 4 to 6-year-olds, we had 96 children, which is absolutely incredible. And if you would have seen the stadium pitch at the time, it was a hive of activity, a hive of cones and footballs and people. And it was absolutely fantastic to watch it all in motion. And we're very, very proud of that. Of course, followed by our fantastic Wildcats and later soccer school sessions, Pan Disability football as well, which is amazing. And after that, we had the pleasure of our first ever, I think it's our first ever Wildcats match, and it was a friendly match against Parkfield Panthers, who also run a Wildcats centre, and that took place, I think it was at 1 o'clock, wasn't it, on the stadium pitch.
So and obviously that Wildcats, for those that are unaware,
Wildcats is our girls football for 4 to 10-year-olds, and we run sessions on Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock and Tuesday evenings
first,
at 5 o'clock.
First introduction, really, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, for real beginners in the girls game.
It's grown from numbers. I remember first session, twos and threes, up to 25s, 26s now.
Absolutely.
Obviously, Andrea Ellis, who's been brought on board recently, doing an absolutely fantastic job on that front, Matt.
Yeah, which is really, really good. And Andrea is very passionate about all things women and girls and all things football, really. And here's some more from her about what went down on the day.
Yes, another really busy week this week for women and girls football at the Community Sports Trust. The biggest event was the Wildcats Friendly that we held on Saturday. We invited over 40 girls from both Bromley Wildcats that we have here on a Saturday morning, as well as our neighbours Parkfield Panthers Wildcats. And yeah, over 40 girls came along, aged from the under 7s to the under 10s. We played a series of friendly games on the stadium pitch just before the men's first team came out for their match against Chesterfield. It's a really, really great event. Loads of family and friends coming along, cheering on the girls. Great to see how much fun they were having, the smiles and the laughter and new friends that they were making. So loads of good football on show. And yeah, just a really good experience for the girls to be playing on the stadium pitch. For some of them, it was their first time here at Bromley, and they were all invited to stay to watch the men's team, which obviously ended up in a really good result, where they managed to get to see some goals scored by Bromley. Also, we've got some other projects lined up. Coming out shortly, we'll be sharing some more information about a new programme that we're going to be launching for girls aged 12 to 14. It's called the Squad Girls Football Programme, and it's an opportunity to offer a session, an hour a week, to girls who would like to take up recreational football. So not league football, but coming down to have a casual kickabout. So watch out for that. And there's lots of information as well in the newsletter that we do each week, the Women and Girls newsletter, which you can sign up to by contacting me, andrea.ellis@bromleyfc.co.uk, or through our social media channels. And in that newsletter, we've got all of the details of lots of things coming up in the women and girls area.
Great to hear from Andrea there, Matt. Obviously, sticking with the women and girls, our under 14 girls are in a cup final this Sunday.
They are indeed. They're taking on Kent Football United Youth. It's a 2:30 kickoff at the Gallagher Stadium in Maidstone. We all wish the very best of luck to the under 14 girls, and we were fortunate enough to be able to catch up with Coach Ali, who's also one of our community coaches, on the final itself.
I just want to start off by saying thanks for having me on the podcast. I really appreciate it, and that's on behalf of Les and Conway as well, the other two coaches I work with this team. I'm sure the girls are going to be buzzing to hear that they've been mentioned on the podcast. But yeah, it's been an amazing season, a season full of up and downs, but I'm so proud of what the girls have been able to achieve. Whether we win the final or not on Sunday, I'm still so proud of what the girls have achieved, because a lot of them, they're playing a year up. Some of them, it's their first time playing in a team environment, or even in an 11-a-side team environment as well. So, you know, it was a lot for them to take on this season, a lot for them to learn, but they've absolutely smashed it. We've done really well in the league. We're just waiting for the other teams to play their games, and we'll see how it plans out. So we could possibly win the double if it all goes our way. But if it doesn't, we're still extremely proud of the girls and what they've been able to achieve as a team. You know, the cup run has been really good. We actually haven't conceded one goal. We got a bye for the first week, for the first round, sorry. And then the quarterfinals, it was an away game. We won 2-0. It was a brilliant performance by the girls. And the semi-final again, which was on our beautiful home stadium at Hayes Lane. And, you know, a lot of the girls had a lot of friends and family there. There was a lot of pressure on them that game, and they took it in their strides. They played phenomenal, and they ended up winning 6-0. It was great. And also a big shout out to Dave Pointer and all of the Bromley's women's first team, because they were absolutely amazing, their support throughout that day as well, and just, you know, giving the girls a bit of self-belief. And it's been amazing because the girls have used that, and it's inspired them to continue to go on throughout this whole season. And it's just been amazing to see how the girls have grown, not just in terms of how good their technical and tactical ability has improved from the beginning of the season till now, but also just to see them have a bit more self-belief in them, their confidence has skyrocketed from when we began the season, sorry. And it's just, for me, that's the best thing to see, because I'm a strong believer in you know, it doesn't matter whether you can be the best technical, you can have the technical ability like Messi, or have the tactical understanding of Pep Guardiola, but if you don't believe in yourself and have that confidence that you can achieve anything you put your mind to, it's never going to go your way. So just to see the girls just believe in themselves a bit more, it's been such a blessing to be a part of it. And hopefully we can go on a win on Sunday. And if anyone's about, it's at Gallagher Stadium in Maidstone, 2:30 kickoff. Hopefully we can go on and win, but if we don't, we are still extremely proud of the girls. And as Les says, football's always the winner. But yeah, it'll be nice to see some people down there. But yeah, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it. Bye, guys.
Best of luck to the under-14s on Sunday, Matt, obviously down at Maidstone. Going back to First Fair, sorry, I talked about Maidstone, obviously promoted, Matt.
Yes.
Into this league next season.
Another local derby for us.
Back to First Affairs, and obviously Monday, Matt, we made the trip up to Birmingham, to Solihull precisely.
that's pretty much all there is. It was a 3-0 defeat on the day for Bromley, but I really think, genuinely, and I think the fans that were there in attendance agreed, all that Bromley lacked was a bit of cutting edge, a bit of final delivery. Some really good football was played. Obviously, seven changes were made from the Saturday win against Chesterfield. So lots of squad rotation really, going on.
Really difficult. Like you say, you've got to keep your players fit. You want them going into Wembley, momentum and games under their belt. I get that, but it has been a bit of a long season already.
It has, yeah, it has been a long season.
I can understand trying to take the opportunity.
Yeah, and a lot of them, you know, really put in a good shift. Unfortunately, I think 3-0, the scoreline flatters Solihull, who were clinical, don't get me wrong, took the chances. The penalty was a bit controversial at the end. But Bromley played some good football. We're just really missing that killer pass and that final delivery, which at 1-0, Bromley were right in the game and actually probably the better side for a majority of it. But 2-0 kind of killed off any hopes of that, and 3-0 was good night. So unfortunately not the best day for us. Solihull secure in the playoffs, but not a good afternoon for us.
But better news later that day, Matt. We passed over 10,000 ticket sales for Wembley.
We did, absolutely, which is a fantastic milestone, isn't it? And let's hope that that number keeps rising up. Tell your family, tell your friends to come on down and get behind Bromley at Wembley Stadium. Like you say, passing 10,000 tickets on the bank holiday was an absolutely brilliant achievement. But we only hope that that number continues to grow.
It's only start, isn't it? Like you say, straight away, Tuesday, Wednesday, we're out and about, weren't we? Hayes High Street. I think Charlotte and Lewis were up there. I saw all the posters in old Hayes Kebab and the old
Sainsbury's
chip shop
as well.
Oh, Terry in Sainsbury's.
Yeah.
Shout out to Terry.
Brilliant. Absolutely fantastic. And on Wednesday, we had the pleasure of the Bromley Schools District Cup Finals. Medals were handed out by Ellery Balcombe, Connor Parsons and Byron Webster, who came down to
it's
watch.
It's been all this week, really. It's been here, hasn't it? We've got this final going on now as we record this. It was some the other night. I know Byron Webster's been involved as well. It's been great to see the players come down and get involved, like you say, Matt.
Absolutely, and we really are a community club, and things like that really showcase it. And the players really invest in things like this, and they want to be involved with it. They enjoy doing it.
Again, though, so you look at the facilities for us to have those, you know, two cup finals going on at the same time on the community pitch, the back, and the stadium pitch. It's been really, really good to see. And obviously, just talking about Thursday, Matt, Ravens chat. We always love mentioning Ravens chat, but even more so this week.
We do, absolutely. And we've got a few interviews coming up for you from the Ravens chat group. But this really is turning into one of our favourite provisions, isn't it, really, Ravens chat? It runs every Thursday. It's for over 50s, 11 till 1 on a Thursday morning. The people that come are just absolutely fantastic. We've got such a wonderful group. We're always looking for more people to come on down. That we get up to all kinds of things, quizzes, watching the players train. Sometimes the guys and the ladies just want to have a chat and have a coffee. They've been to Signature at Beckenham to watch the Bromley boys. Andy's come in, the chairman's come in to speak to
them. Broomfield's on Thursday.
Yeah, it was fantastic for them to go in. Some of them experienced Broomfield's for the first time, and just the look on their faces, they were absolutely in awe of it all. It's absolutely fantastic.
But they are starting to go famous now, aren't they? Because
a little bit.
We've had UCFB, University College of Football, is it? I can't remember what it stands for.
University
exactly.
College Football.
But were they
business?
Were they coming down to do?
Josh is nodding at me. So yeah,
they came down to do a documentary on them, aren't they?
Yes. Well, we're featuring our community provision. Ravens Chat in specific is featuring in a documentary, like you say, made by UCFB, which I believe is going to be shown at the National League Awards at the end of the season.
Oh, brilliant.
Which is incredible. So Ravens Chat only started back in February. It's already been in the non-league paper. They've obviously been mentioned in Andy's post-match interviews, and they're loving it, let me tell you. They're loving all the coverage. We had the pleasure also of getting some coverage of our own, and I had the pleasure of catching up with Mick Smith, Barry Evans and David Meluish, who are all members of Ravens Chat. We talked about Ravens Chat itself. We talked about their stories of getting involved in this football club and also about Wembley. And here's what they had to say. OK, now we're over to the fan section of the podcast. We wanted to get the fans more involved, so we've dipped into our Ravens Chat contingent today. And first up is Mick Smith. Mick, welcome to the podcast. Is it a debut for you on the podcast?
It is indeed, Matt, yes. Especially after many years of listening.
That's right. So great to have you on, Mick. I just wanted to start off by learning a bit more about your story, about how you became a supporter of Bromley.
Oh, that's easy. Yeah, I live quite close, and I lived here in the Bromley area for 40 years. But it was, I suppose, well, I'm on my third manager now, so I go back to the days of Mark Goldberg. And it was that time, you know, between Christmas and the New Year. And I looked at the thing, and you had a game on, Danny. So I said to my mate, why don't we go down to Bromley? So we did. And what an eye-opener compared with the sort of like league football I've been watching before. Because here, the players just picked themselves up, dusted themselves down and got on with the game. No rolling around, no trying to con the referee. And the other thing which really got me was not only did the players change end at half-time, but so did the supporters. And I thought that was such a lovely trait, you know, such a lovely thing to do.
And it's kind of the place, isn't it? When you come in, you get hooked, don't you? And you just can't keep away.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, even our ex-chap, Jerry Dorkey, his wife, she'd be in the turnstile. So it was a proper family-type operation. But she'd say, you bought your boots today, sort of thing. Don't know why she said that to me, but she always did quite often. I suppose it was the enthusiasm that I started to bring. And the other great thing at Bromley is the staff. Very consistent staff here. So, like, for example, Jackie, who runs everything, you know, the bars and all that, I've seen her from day one, still here. And everyone else, so to speak. So it's been great, and you get to know them, they get to know you, and it's just a lovely atmosphere here.
It really is, isn't it? I just wanted to pick up on Wembley as well. Obviously, we've spoken off recording, and you were at the last Wembley game, which was it was kind of a bittersweet experience, wasn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely was. But what a day, what a weekend that was, because you had an open day here the day before. We could see the players, you know, presentations being out on the pitch, and I think you've got a great photograph somewhere of everyone out there, and then waved the players off, and then it was a beautiful sunny Sunday day there. I actually was sat next to the goalkeeper's dad, Dave Gregory, at the time.
Oh, wow.
yeah, on the coach. We had a minibus, we went there, and yeah, it was just great seeing all the Bromley paraphernalia there. And you're right, it was bittersweet, because we scored first, and then as we just got, you know, down the way, we just sort of lost our way a bit. And then, yeah, the crunch was obviously the penalty shootout. That was heartbreaking.
We won't talk any more about that. We'll move on to happier times, obviously. The semi-final against York City was a great day, wasn't it? And that's really, we've seen the excitement build up since that result to Wembley, which is obviously now less than 3 weeks away. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling okay. I just hope we've got a plan A and a plan B and a plan C on the day. And obviously, I think my own personal opinion here, I think now that the manager's now sort of looking towards that, because in the league we're sort of, it's sort of over for us, shall we say. So he's now tweaking his squad, I think, building with that. And who knows, on any given Sunday, who knows, it could happen. And I'm stoked about it. Yeah,
funny game, football, isn't it?
Oh, it absolutely is. Yes it can be. The game gives and the game takes.
Well, Mick, thank you so much for your time. It's great to have you on the podcast.
Thanks very much, Matt. Cheers.
And next up here on Ravens Weekly this week, we've got Barry Evans, who's joining us. Barry, great to have you on the podcast. And again, it's a debut for you, isn't it? You've not been on the podcast before.
No, I haven't, no.
Hopefully you've listened, though.
Oh, yes.
So, Barry, I wanted to get started by just understanding a bit more about how you got involved with supporting Bromley, and when did that happen?
It happened in 1945-46 season, when my mother had a season ticket here, and it was the first game after the war, and I had to sit on her lap because I was only 4 years old. My grandparents both were committee members here, and that's how, you know, obviously my mother sort of went to every game and started taking me all over the country.
That's fantastic, Barry. So Bromley is really in the blood for you, isn't it?
Oh, yes. It's a family connection, and even my son, who now lives in America, he knows more about the football club than I do, which is nice.
And you talk about supporting Bromley in the 1940s. Obviously, at the end of the 1940s was the appearance at Wembley. Were you there that day?
No, I wasn't allowed to go to that, unfortunately. My mother went, obviously, with my grandfather, and I was in the high street, though, to see the cup being brought back, which was great. And I looked on the big mural that used to be just in the main office there. Oh, no, in the main entrance there. And I looked up one day and I thought, crikey, that's me. And I'm there under the shin sign, looking up at the coach, you know. It wasn't a coach, but it looked like a coach, and they brought the cup back. And I thought to myself then, what am I, you know, young lad, I was only about eight then. And then I thought, why was I allowed even in those days to be amongst that crowd? Because there was about 20,000 down the high street. And I looked to the right, and there was my grandmother with the other lady, Kit Russell, who used to serve the teas in the main tea room here.
Wow, that's incredible, Barry. And then you fast forward from that to the appearance at Wembley in 2018, and we've said already to others it was a bittersweet day. How was it for you?
Well, overall, ended disappointing, but a great day. I took all my family to Wembley. Son came obviously over from America. It was fantastic. A bit of a sad ending. Be quite honest, I still haven't got over it, but there you go. It was a great occasion. Go walking up Wembley Way with all our flags and everything. It was marvellous.
And are you getting ready to do that again? Obviously, less than 3 weeks now to the next appearance at Wembley.
Well, I'd like to be, but somebody in my house booked a holiday and informed me that we'll go away on holiday for the final.
Oh, no.
But my son in America quickly looked online and found out all the time the train times from King's Lynn, because we'll be in North Norfolk, down to London and to Wembley. I'm working on it.
Oh, so it's not over. It's not quite over yet.
No.
We'll see.
I've got my shirt. I'll be getting my ticket. And if I can get some sort of assistance down to the ground, then I should be there, of course.
Wow, that's incredible. Incredible commitment, Barry. I just want to finish on one final question. You've obviously been a Bromley supporter for a very long time now. Who would you pick out as your favourite Bromley player of all time? Really tough question, I know.
Well, past times, George Brown, who is...
Legendary goal scorer.
Legendary goal scorer. Absolutely amazing man. And the more modern times, shall we say, or Dave Roberts' times, a player called Eric Nottage, prolific goal scorer as well. In fact, I played in the same school team as him in Haysford Park for the last sort of season at that school. And you could look across the fields down onto this ground. I did play on the ground, Bromley Football Club, because I worked for a company in Bromley called Duns of Bromley, and they was like in companionship or partnerships with another one, a company called Perks of Bromley. But David Perk used to be a committee member here, and he challenged Duns to a football match, you know, to see, you know, and... So we all put our names forward, and I actually got onto the team for Duns, and my great thrill was to score a penalty down our favourite end, of course. And a chap, one of the old Bromley players, played for Perks and Sons. His name was Les Nye. A lot of old, you know, past supporters remember him, and because obviously he was a class above everybody, but it was good fun. We even got allowed to use a dressing room, and we had Bromley shirts on, can you believe? And the game started. A lot of people weren't fit, but some people were. A lot of young lads. I got a ball pushed through to me into the box. Next thing I saw, stars. Somebody knocked me over, and it was Les Nye. Penalty, they shouted. And I thought, crikey, you know, you take it, you take it. And I'm there, I'm looking, and I thought, this is a dream come true, this is. And I thought, top right, just bash it. And, I was lucky it went in. So, great memories there, especially to be able to play on my beloved Bromley Football Club ground.
On the hallowed turf, so to speak.
On the hallowed turf, yeah.
Well, Barry, I've learned so much through speaking to you today. Thanks so much for your time. And rounding off our catch-up with supporters this week on Ravens Weekly, it's David Meluish. David, thanks so much for joining us. I just wanted to start off on a slightly different note with you, because we've talked about it in Broomfields just a moment ago. Ravens chat has obviously been going now for nearly 3 months. How have you found it?
I can put it in words as it's a lifesaver. Not just for me, but for all the guys there. We're all of that age. A lot of us haven't got anything to do during the week, or in my case, where I was diagnosed with lymphoma, Hodgkinson's lymphoma. So I've not been able to get out of the house. I can't do the things that I'd like to do, so it's been an absolute lifesaver. What Bromley have done, yourself and Jeff, has been miraculous. What you've done, the friendships, all of us, we go on the coaches now and we have a really good friendship, we have a really good laugh. I mean, the manager, the players have shown us so much respect as well, that we actually feel part of the club. I'm surprised John hasn't asked us, we have, you know, our own track suits and
things. Maybe that's next.
Yes, yeah, that's right. So, for all of us, it's been, we get the respect from the players, the manager, and as you know, the manager is plain speaking with us, and we have a good laugh, and the manager actually mentions us in his after-match interviews, and we were even in the non-league the other week. So it's been uplifting as well, that we've all got something. You know, we're special now. We all think we're special, and you know, we've all got something, and we've all got that togetherness now that we can help each other. In fact, as one of the guys, I won't say who it is, but for me personally, he's been chatting to me because he knew that I was suffering with my legs and stuff, and he was fantastic, you know, and I had someone to talk to. So it's the whole, across the whole section, it's been fantastic. It's the best idea that anyone's had, and we feel part of Bromley so much. You know, it has been something that I could not believe that would happen to just a few people, to be able to do what we do, and we're part of the club, you know.
Well, I was going to say, you really, really are, and yeah. There's been some brilliant activities that have gone on. You've had quizzes, you've had a trip to...
You won the quiz.
You're keen to get that in there.
Yeah.
You've had the trip to Signature to watch the Bromley boys as well.
Great time.
Which was fantastic.
Well, we're hoping that... Roy went a few weeks ago, didn't he? To
the Easter Fair,
And then we're all hoping that sometime, especially over the summer, that we can go down there and mix and have a chat.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. And a couple of other things that have gone on is obviously you mentioned Andy coming in, that the chairman's come in, the players have come in.
Yeah.
It just shows that actually it's a real community environment, isn't it?
Yeah, and the respect that they show us as well. I mean, because with John, then John tells the manager what to do, you know, and we were just discussing it actually. It's quite funny because he said we're going to have a competition, so one of us can sit on the bench every week, and we all said, well, John can sit on the bench, and John just said, I'll get a job with Wrexham.
and talking of Wrexham, Dave, you were at the last Wembley game, as we all were. It was a bit of a bittersweet day, that's the word we keep using for it, wasn't it?
It was one of those days where we didn't, we had the chances, but we didn't, that's probably Bromley's problem sometimes, but we didn't put them away. Brackley had a little bit more, they had a bit more energy towards the end of the game, and they won it. But it's one of those things now, I find that we competed. It was sad that we didn't win the cup. When we got to the final, this is, and it was, you could even say that it was a stepping stone for where we are now. Where that we've got probably some of the best facilities outside the Football League. In fact, we've probably got some of the best facilities inside the Football League. And we've used it as a stepping stone. And we're going to Wembley again. We're now competing in the league well above our weight, in as far as... we haven't done so well since Christmas, but against all the top teams, we've competed all season. And it's uplifting that for the club is definitely going to go somewhere. We just have to all be a bit patient and perhaps us old boys are a little bit more patient than others.
And you talk about going somewhere. We're going back to Wembley. Yes. In less than 3 weeks now. How are you feeling?
Oh, I can't wait. Got my shirt. I got my black shirt with a Wembley on it, and I'm going on the coach, and I'm really excited because I actually think that we are capable of playing a lot better football than maybe we have in the last few weeks. And it's more than good enough to beat Wrexham. So let's hope I'm right. So, and winning the Cup at Wembley is a fantastic experience.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. Well, Dave, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much indeed. Cheers.
Great to hear them speak about the group, Matt. And one of those in attendance on Thursday was John Richardson. John runs the 100 Plus Club, Matt?
Yes, John does run at the 100 Plus Club with the help of Arthur Duplock. And it's been going now for about 11 years, I think, and it's raised a lot of money for the football club. It was an idea that came about when we had a couple of difficult winters. And John and Arthur started it up as a way of getting some funds into the club and supporting the football club. It's really grown considerably since that time. John will go into more detail on it. But of course, we're always looking for more members to join the 100 Plus Club. And here is John himself. Who better to talk about it than him with some more information on how you can get involved?
Okay, so we're delighted to be joined now by John Richardson, the coordinator of the 100 Plus Club. John, thanks so much for joining us today. Can you tell us a little bit about what the 100 Plus Club is?
Yeah, the 100 Plus Club was originally started beginning of 2011. The club had suffered a bad winter, the December month, and a lot of games were cancelled, and there was a bit of a financial struggle. So I was about to retire, so I decided to set do a monthly draw and see how we went from there. We started off, the first draw was April 2011, and we had about 54 members. It's a fiver a month to join by standing order. We've got up to, I think, the biggest number we had was just over 400. We're looking to push it to a 500, and so far we've raised around about £47,000 for the club. So we're looking to get up to 500 and push on from there.
I remember, John, when it was just the 100 Club, and then the Plus came in when we got over 100, to now be targeting 500. It's incredible, isn't it?
Well, that's right, yes. And obviously the club did put out when COVID struck that it needed support, and people were asking how they could do it. And this is a very good way of doing it. 50% of the money in each month's draw is returned as prize money. So yeah, that could be up. I think the highest prize we gave was just over £400. And the other half goes to the club. The club meet the costs of any expenses we do. So there's one or two admin fees we have to pay to the council a year. But that's it. Other than that, the vast bulk, there's five prizes. So 400 divided by five, I'm not quite sure what that is, but the odds aren't that particularly bad to win the prize. Yeah.
It's been brilliant, obviously, lots of supporters engaging with it, being involved in it, but also players, staff and sponsors have got involved as well.
Yes, I saw, yeah, Jerry, when he was here, we used to push it at the Breakfast Club, lots of local businesses involved, and as you say, lots of members of staff are involved. Yes, players have been involved, but yeah, we can always have more players on board and more staff members. Yeah, I think there's one senior staff member yet to join, but there we are.
We won't name any names.
But there we are. No, but everyone, please, you know, they want to go on the website, there is a link, or if you see myself anywhere around any of the games, we can get paper copies out, but ideally we'd like to do it online. And the payment control is in your control, because you do it by standing order rather than direct debit, which is easier.
John, thanks so much for your time, and yeah, thank you for your efforts with the 100 Plus Club.
Okay, thanks much, Matt.
Great to hear from John there, Matt. Obviously, I think I've got one or two numbers. I think I've come second or third.
I've come third once ever. I think I'm overdue but I got abused when I read out my own name.
You would do though, to be fair.
Yeah,
I get that.
Got abused.
Obviously, Matt, later end of this week, Max, Chloe, Charlotte, and Drea have all been up into the town centre around Bromley, really, on a tour of the local businesses.
Yeah, so the group that Jeff just mentioned there went round on a trip to the local sponsors and people that support the football club, and it was brilliant.
More importantly, Ronan the Raven went.
Yes, Ronan the Raven was present, and it was very
popular.
Which
one was Ronan?
Oh.
anyway.
That's for us to know and no one else to know. But yeah, he Warren in the Raven went down very popular, didn't he? And it was brilliant. Some of the photos, absolutely fantastic. It was really good to see the Wembley buzz being spread around all these organisations.
Shout out to Christina and, was it Precision Projects, one of the new sponsors?
Yeah.
They had the cupcakes out, they had the flags, they had the scarves, amazing. They've got all the merch. It was brilliant. And they were the first stop. So they had a nice little cake of biscuits. Great start to the day.
Absolutely brilliant. So big thank you, of course, to all of the sponsors and businesses that support Bromley Football Club. And it was really, really great to see all the photos being shared and Ronan the Raven getting his step count up for the day.
Obviously, Wembley massive, Matt, but we've still got two home games to go.
We do still have two home games to go. And the first of those, stop being able to talk today, is Dover Athletic, who visit Hayes Lane tomorrow. That's Saturday, the 7th of May. And, of course, Dover themselves already relegated, playing without pressure, and have actually had a couple of good results since they got relegated. So not one for Bromley to underestimate, for sure. And we know exactly that is what Andy was thinking. And here's what he had to say on that game and all things going on this week in his interview. Andy, thanks for joining us, as always, for the weekly catch-up. Let's start off by talking about the Chesterfield game last Saturday. There were two games in a very short space of time. That really was a very good performance, wasn't it, on the day, and some great football played.
Yeah, I mean, I think the real message to the players has been that let's make sure we get some performances now. And normally, when you perform well, the result follows. Not always, but, you know, it does seem to tend that way. I think real pleasing for me, I've been saying for a few weeks that sooner or later we are going to score some goals past someone. You know, we create a lot of chances in most of the games, and I felt, you know, Saturday we really, you know, created chances and finished them. So yeah, I was really delighted in one breath to be 3-0 up, and then we switch off a couple of moments, which you can't do against a top team, you know, they punished us, and then we made a bit of a game of it. But overall, I was delighted with the performance that we gave on Saturday.
We touched on it before, but it was really, really good for Ali to get those first two goals, sorry, which have been coming, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, it's good for any striker to score goals. And for Ali, you know, he's been working hard. I said, you know, it's hard. It's his first loan, and he's learning. He's a young boy. I think it's easy for us to forget, you know, he's his first loan, and he's trying to integrate with us. And he's worked hard. So I think sometimes you work hard, you get your rewards. And Ali certainly did that Saturday, and he got his rewards.
And then moving on to Monday, as we say, two games in a very short space of time. He made seven changes to the team, and despite the scoreline, it probably was quite flattering for Solihull.
Yeah, I mean, I made the changes for the reason, you know, I think it's very important that you know, people understand that we couldn't make the playoffs, sadly. So it's about getting all minutes into the team now, and then giving myself as many players to select from that are up to speed, ready for the game against Wrexham. So that was why I made the seven changes, and I didn't know if that was obvious or not, or people maybe thinking I'm just tinkering or something. You know, that wasn't the case. It was about getting everyone now minutes, and I'll continue to do that. You know, going forward into the Wrexham. So then when it comes to the week of the Wrexham game, we've got everyone to choose from that's fit. The scoreline was a little bit flattering for Solihull. I didn't think we played that bad in patches. We made a couple of errors and they punished us for us, and with their strike force, you know, you're going to expect that. But it was good. It told me a few things, and I learned a little bit from that game, which I probably wouldn't have done if I'd have been sort of playing the same team going for the result. So that was a good exercise, although losing 3-0 is never nice, and losing any football match is not what I want to do.
One player that you brought in recently that really seems to have grown into his role and really flourished is James Vennings. How pleased are you with his progress so far?
Yeah, James is a really nice footballer. I mean, I know how much everyone thinks Billy Bingham at this football club, and James is almost like a mini-me of Billy. So James is really, you know, slotted in well. The bit I like about James, he always wants the ball. And I like his professionalism. You know, what people might not see around the place, he's a professional footballer, and a really good one at that, you know, with how he acts, conducts himself, and prepares for football matches. So that is, you know, the sort of character I want in the club, and James has been brilliant for us. So yeah, I'm really delighted for him.
Just touching briefly on Wembley, you mentioned it earlier on, ticket sales have now surpassed 10,000. It's going to be some atmosphere on the day, isn't it? And those numbers keep going up.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we want them to keep going up, don't we? We want everyone to come out and Bromley support us. You know, we know it's tough, and you know, things are expensive and that, and there's probably a lot more things people might want to spend their money on, but for them to come out and support us would be, you know, been brilliant for the team, brilliant for us, and brilliant for the community of Bromley. So we want to make sure we go there and we're well supported. And then up to now, I can't thank people enough. You know, I was in London the other day, and a taxi driver drove past and shouted out, "Come on, Bromley," which is lovely. And I've got a lot of that, and that's really, you know, really been nice for me and for the players.
And in the immediate future, before that, is the visit of Dover Athletics at Hayes Lane tomorrow. Obviously, they are already relegated, but actually, since that happened, they've had a couple of good results.
Yeah, I think it's a weird one, isn't it? I mean, you could argue, since we couldn't make the playoffs, we've looked like a different team. And I think when the pressure's off for these teams, they can sometimes just, you know, relax a little bit more, and then the results sort of come. It's bizarre. So that won't be easy. And we seem to make, you know, every game against the teams down the bottom a little bit harder. So, yeah, but we're going into this game, and we're kind of, you know, we want to win the match. Don't be, you know, fooled by that. We definitely want to win the match. We want to win all the football matches. But we also got a bigger picture with these few games of players coming back from injury, trying to get some minutes into them, and trying to get some sort of some momentum going as well, which we now need to start doing. You know, Monday was Monday, that served the purpose, but we need to now start getting some momentum in what we're doing and what we're trying to achieve, and how we're gonna go about the game here at Wembley.
Andy, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Great to hear from Andy as always. Matt, obviously plenty going on the pitch, but also off the pitch tomorrow. It's our family fun day.
It is our family fun day. Before that starts, though, we've of course got Saturday morning soccer school. Broomfields is open from 8. Saturday soccer school, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Visit the website bromleyfc.tv/community for more details on that. After that, it's the family fun day. That starts at 12. There's going to be music, family-friendly inflatables, face painting, and an opportunity to design a Bromley FC
non-family
kit.
Family friendly.
Well, I was thinking stuff like Ninja Warrior and things like that, which is probably not one for the kids to do, but it's a bit, yeah, probably a bit much that. But anyway, it's going to be a brilliant, brilliant day. Do come on down, bring the family along, and of course, then there's the football to watch afterwards as well.
Face painting, arts and crafts table.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to hold back the staff.
Design the kit.
Yeah, yeah. Opportunity to design the third kit.
I think, yeah. Is that what we're going to do? Brilliant.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely fantastic. And of course,
am I reading that right? You get a free cupcake when you buy a scarf.
Yes. Oh, buy a scarf. Get a cupcake.
Buy a Wembley scarf and get a cupcake.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Talking of merchandise, that'll be available tomorrow at the game as well, so do keep a lookout for that.
Oh, I just want my bucket hat and my scarf. That's all I'm bothered about.
Well, you'll be able to get it tomorrow. You'll have to rock around the terraces in that. Anyway, the final home game of the season is, of course, the visit of Altrincham on Tuesday. So two home games in the space of a few days. Come on down, well, get behind the boys.
Sorry, I made a note, lap of appreciation.
Oh, yes, yeah.
On-pitch interviews. Obviously, I know Altrincham is the last game, I suppose, but Saturday feels like a more fitting game.
Yes, it does. So the lap of appreciation will take place post-match tomorrow. So if you're at the game, please do stick around at the full-time whistle and the players.
You're going to interview the man in the match and Andy on the pitch.
That's
at the end
right.
Of the game.
There'll be a live interview.
But they are going to go back into the dressing rooms first, aren't they? And then come
out.
So it'll be a short
delay. Yes, that's right. Yeah. So do stick around. I'll mention that again on the PA tomorrow to show your appreciation for the team and for them to do likewise to you. You guys have got behind them all this season, week in, week out, through thick and thin, home and away, and they want to express their thanks to you as well. So yeah, that will be taking place post-match at the Dover game tomorrow, whatever the result.
Absolutely brilliant. And I know there's a load of autograph cards and team photo cards going up in the arts and craft there as family day, so the kids can grab those team photos and get the players to sign them at the end of the game as well, which would be nice.
Absolutely brilliant. So do come on down, be a part of the family fun day, and be a part of tomorrow's match day as we welcome Dover Athletic to Hayes Lane. And I think that's us.
Is that us?
I think that's us.
We're almost there.
Well, we're almost there, yeah. When you say almost, do you mean we've forgotten something? Or
no, that's what I was thinking out loud.
Right, okay. I've just said it out loud. But anyway, we won't cut that bit. Thank you so much, all of you, for joining us once again for episode 107 of Ravens Weekly.
107.
It's It's crazy, isn't it? We still can't get over that figure each week. Thank you to Jeff for joining me. Thank you to Josh, and thank you once again to all of you. We'll be back again next week. Take care, everyone. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me. And that's the town.